Blog Talk Radio.
You're right. And the things of this world will grow sleepy in the light of this world and grace. Help us to turn our eyes upon you, to look wonderful and the things of this world in the light of reason. In the light of His glory, in the light of His glory, take the stage, have Your way. Let us always remember that. We're just Your face. Nothing more. We're not celebrities. When you're done, please take the glory. We're satisfied to see you glow. Take the stage and have your way. And to see your face and nothing more. When you're done, please take the glory. Satisfied is to see you glorified. Satisfied. Heavenly Father, I have a request this morning that this worship will be a seed for every minister here present and everyone here present, that we will never miss it. Let that be the fruit of this meeting. That the more you lift us higher and higher, the more our roots go down in Christ Jesus. That you become the focus. That the spirit of these last days would not catch up with us. The spirit of celebrities. But that we will take upon ourselves the form of a servant like Jesus did. And clothe our hearts with humility. Just before I go, I came and I'm sitting down there. The Holy Ghost whispered a word in my heart. Believe. The violin. Picked up my phone. Hello. I picked up my phone to check the tributes of the Lily of the Valley. Then I hear just sang the song in the next 10 seconds. You are the Lily of the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the word is established. And something the Lord wants us to know about the Lily of the Valley this morning. And as I check, I saw that most of of believing is that it blooms around tongues. So I don't know where you are, what you came here with, what tongues there are in your life. The Lord wants me to tell you that you are going to blossom. A lily is one of the tallest flowers. Grows so tall, but yet it bends. No matter how He lifts us, we will remember to humble ourselves. Pastor Elsie's testimony blessed me. Every time I encounter Pastor, I mean, she just blows our minds with this testimony. and learn a lot from Pastor Elsie. Sometimes our greatest time is when we're having in our lunch the wisdom from our well is blessed. And the word about, and the song about what God has done, just stop it. Just add to that word as I go back to my son. That in this coming week, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the same God who did and is doing for her has gone ahead to do for you. And that you will soon see wonders.
Oh, Lord, you are. Now, All his word is truth. We thank God and we praise God for you that is here this morning. And we thank God for those that are not here this morning. We are going to release a quick word according to the Holy Spirit and get out of here in the mighty name of Jesus. We didn't remember to do Holy Communion yesterday, but we did it this morning. A lot of times we are all leaders, supposed to be leaders on this here church line. And if I don't remember something because I'm doing something else, one of the other leaders can pick it up and say, well, Apostle, you know, we haven't done this, or we haven't done this, or we should do this. Same way people talk on the phone while the service is going on, they can call me. They can say something, you know. I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe I need to shut down the line for a while and just let the Lord speak to me when I need to turn it back and shut it down for 2 or 3 weeks. I get my head together. Maybe that's what I need to do. I'll think about that tonight. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come and deliver this word that you have given me to deliver. Lord, I ask you to speak through me as I deliver this word to the people all over the world. Father, you know that it's not never about me, but always about you. You're the one that lead and guide. I don't always cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Neither do anybody else. And Father, you know I don't speak behind anybody's back. I don't mention nobody's name off this line. But I say on this line. So I ask you, God, to just allow me to see, hear, and speak your truth today. In the mighty name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, this morning we're going to be speaking on They Saw His Glory. They saw his glory. Who are we talking about? The apostles. They saw his glory. And the book of Matthew chapter 17. And we want to look at the first 13 verses. And the Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus took along Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became bright as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. So Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you want, I will make here 3 shelters or tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the clouds said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell down on their faces and were extremely frightened. And Jesus came and touched them and said, get up and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except him, Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. In other words, he said, don't tell anybody anything until I am crucified, dead and buried, and raised up from the dead. Don't tell nobody anything. And the disciples asked him, saying, then why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah indeed is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come. He was talking about John the Baptist. He came in the spirit of Elijah. He wasn't Elijah, but he came in the spirit of Elijah. But I say to you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did with him whatever they wanted. In the same way, also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. In this text here, we're talking about they saw his glory here in Matthew chapter 17. Peter, James, and John, his brother, these men composed the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. Three disciples catch a glimpse of the intersection between heaven and earth as they observed Jesus in his heavenly glory. When Jesus was transfigured, he took on the heavenly appearance. The whole area that they were was lit up, was brightened by the very glory, the very appearance of Jesus. So the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were able to see this, experience this heavenly glory that nobody has experienced, because they were in his inner circle. Now he had 12 disciples. But you notice that when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before his crucifixion, before his arrest, he had Peter, James, and John. They was always with him. He went up on the mountain, he took Peter, James, and John. He went in the garden to pray. He took Peter. They were in the other disciples that knew him. They conversate with him. They had conversation with him, but they wasn't as close as Peter, James, and John. You can have many people, even here on Blog Talk. Some people are very close and some is not as close. Hallelujah. Some is not as very close. Well, I could say a lot of things, but I wouldn't say, you know, because people listen and people draw from their own way of thinking. But I'll just let that stand there. Peter, James, and John, his brother, these men composed the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. They occasionally become privy to events that the rest of the group does not see. On a mountain high, there is no indication that Jesus and the disciples have moved away from Caesarea Philippi, located at the base of Mount Hermon. Another possibility is Mount Tabor, southwest of the Sea of Galilee. He was transfigured. Jesus' appearance changed in somewhere, apparently reflecting his heavenly glory. The Greek verb used here, metamorpho, meaning to change outwardly or visibly, described an alternation in form. You see, Jesus' face, his countenance, everything changed. It was lit up like somebody was spotting a bright 120-watt bulb in his face, on his clothes. Everything was illuminated. The description places Jesus within the prophetic tradition of Moses. Now, when Moses in Exodus 34, let's go over there, Exodus 34, and we'll get back to Matthew chapter 17. Exodus 34, let's start at verse 1. King James Version, Exodus 34. And I actually flip it on the computer. Exodus 34. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew these two tablets of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds see before the man. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. Remember the first set of commandments that he got from the Lord, that the Lord gave to him. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, he saw the people dancing and acting all type of strange, had made a calf and all that stuff, and they were worshiping the calf, and Moses was so angry with them that he threw down the Ten Commandments that God had given to them, and they broke, and they opened, caused the first earthquake, and the earth opened, and thousands of people were sucked in, Israelites were sucked into the earth. They died. Instant went into the earth. Because Moses allowed the people to get to him. You know, people will get to you. You can't allow people to get to you, because if people get to you, you'll find yourself not doing what God called you to do. Because people will tax your mind. People will tax your mind all the time. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to get away for a season. Get away for a season. Maybe I go to the Caribbean. Book a ticket and go to the Caribbean for a couple of weeks. Listen. The Bible says, he told Moses, don't bring nobody up. Don't let the flock come close to the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord. And the Lord God, mercifully and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. He said, if now I have found grace, same thing as favor, in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thy own inheritance. Moses is pleading for the people. He's pleading for the people. Let's jump down here. We're in Exodus. Let's jump down to verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shine while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shine, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talk with them, and after all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai, and until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord, he spake with him, and he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shined, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak to the Lord. Now Moses' countenance, Moses has taken on the very glory of God. He has seen the glory of God, and he has taken on the glory of God. His countenance has changed like God. Hallelujah. And the people became afraid. See, when you, the more time we spend with God, the more we have become more like God. Hallelujah. We won't be getting angry with each other and upset and want to fight and want to quarrel and want to cause disagreement because we're not agreeing with something and something don't happen the way we want it to happen. No, because once you have a connection with God, God's people don't act strange. Believe me. See, Moses had to go and plead for God to the people because they were acting strange. They were stiff-necked, wanted to do things their way, not the way God wants it done. None of us here in this earth realm, not you, not me, not anybody that come on Blog Talk Radio, is perfect. And a lot of people still got a whole bunch of anger inside their spirit. You can hear it. But listen to what here in this word. We're going to get this word, get a word on here for this morning. We're going to shut down the computer. Listen to what's there. Down here. Jesus, he changed. He was changed. And the disciples was excited and scared at the same time. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. Glory to God. Help me, Lord, to deliver this message. 16. And he had in his right hand, talking about Jesus, 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the doings which thou hast seen. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the 7 angels of the church, of the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Now God is talking to John. John is writing all of this stuff down. Hallelujah. He said the 7 stars are the 7 angels, or the 7 pastors. The 7 messengers that is going to bring the word to the church, that's going to lead the church to God. This is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to fight over foolish stuff, argumentative. We ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit for him to lead us. Daniel 12 and 3. Daniel, the book of Daniel, 12. Entry. I can get this fast in the computer book. Daniel 12 and 3. But we want to go into the. We want to go into the King James Version. Daniel 12 and 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. No. If you have the wisdom of God, you're going to shine. People are going to begin to see the light of God upon you. And you're going to be able to lead people to Christ Jesus. But if all we want to do is talk about each other behind each other back, we're not doing anything. I'm not going to talk with you, Deacon, about nobody. I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah. If I have something, feel something, I'm going to tell you. I was on your line last night. I was on there last night. But I have preached the message on Friday night. And I decided I was just going to listen and hear whoever preach or teach or pray or whatever. I heard everything. I was there with you last night, Deacon. I was there. I was the person that you would keep saying that you thought you heard somebody come on. Yes, that was me. But I had preached on Friday night. And I didn't have in my mind to preach on Saturday night. But I was there with you. Hallelujah. If other people had come on and share, maybe I would encourage them. But nobody, everybody keep their mouth closed. Thank you, honey. Everybody had their mouth closed. So glory to God. But we thank God, we thank God, because God is still God. He's not going to change. CABC, let's look at Matthew. No. Let's go to, let's go to, Matthew 28. Let's go to Matthew 28. You got to get the scriptures. I tell you, you got to get the scriptures. The scriptures will make the difference. When you get the scriptures, hallelujah. Don't try to preach like nobody else. Don't try to comment. Don't try to imitate nobody. Don't imitate somebody. Imitate Jesus. I'm not looking for nobody to see nobody do something wrong, to complain about them. I'm not looking for that. I'm trying to get my life together. God, you know I'm trying to get my life together that I can please you. I don't have it together. I still got a lot of stuff messed up in my life that need to be straightened up, Brother Deacon. And I'm asking God to help me because I know I can't do it on my own. Now here in Matthew 28, verses 3, he says, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, talking about Jesus, see? Hallelujah. His countenance, his face, Moses' face, the same thing. Moses' clothes didn't change, though. That's the difference between Moses and Jesus. When Jesus transfigured here on the mount, when he met with Moses and Elias, the Bible said Elias, but this text is saying Elijah. We know it's Elijah. His clothes, everything changed. He just lit up like the moon, like the sun together, moon and sun together. He lit up. Because why? He transfigured because he had on his heavenly garment for that moment. He had on his heavenly garment. So they had a glimpse of heaven above the earth. They saw it. So Mark chapter 9, the next book over from Matthew, Mark chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, we're talking about they saw his glory. Who saw his glory? The apostle Matthew, Peter, James, and John. The tree that was close to him. There's some people that are closer to you. They're closer to you than others. And they will know your deepest secrets. Hallelujah. We were close before, but we're not as close as we used to. Because other people come in. And other people take that place. So we're not jealous. Listen to what we say. Listen to what he says. Mark chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. This is the same text that we're reading in Matthew chapter 17. And lead them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His raiment, his clothes became shining. Exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller or no laundryman on earth can wipe them. Hallelujah. No bleach, no laundryman can make your clothes as white as Jesus was. This is how awesome he was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's jump all over this place here and show people. When Jesus come, he's going to be so glory. It's going to be so glorious to see him. I tell you, when he come, hallelujah, we ought to live and live together and help each other to be, help each other to prepare them ourselves to see Jesus when he come. Instead of like, we got the keys. We got the keys to heaven and hell. Only Jesus did. That's the only one I saw in this book that says he have the keys to heaven and hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, he says, Revelation 3 and 5 says, he that overcomes the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. See, the thing is that we have to overcome. We have to overcome the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of confusion. We can get and we can preach all that stuff that I don't have the spirit of confusion. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. But listen. God knows. God knows we have the spirit of confusion. Because we allow Satan to come in and disturb us. The presence of these men might signify that both the law, Moses, and the prophet Elijah. Moses represent the law and Elijah represent the prophets. They both points to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Matthew 11, verse 14. Either directly or by allusions. Matthew often compares Jesus' ministry with those of Moses and Elijah. You see it in Matthew 8 and verse 4 and 8, Matthew 5 and 1, Matthew 8 and 1, Matthew 14 and 23, Matthew 15 and 29, Matthew 17 and 1 and 9, Matthew 28 and 16. And then we compare with Moses, as we read early, Moses, about Jesus and the glory, Matthew, Exodus 34, verse 1 to 9. First Kings, let's go over to First Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, let's start at verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word, Lord. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now she says she's telling Elijah the same way he had killed the prophets, that she going to make his life. She's going to kill him just as he killed the prophets. So Elijah became free. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He left his servant, Gehazi was his servant, he left behind. But he went on to Beersheba because he was afraid. He had just killed over 400, his total was 850 prophets. And he went, was scared of one woman, one witch he was scared of. God was with him when he killed 850 prophets of Baal, and he's scared of one woman. He ran and leave his servant behind. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. He began to cry out to the Lord, afraid of one woman, Jezebel. The Bible said there that know the Lord, their God, will do great exploits. Why are you afraid of one person? Why you let one person disturb your spirit? Hallelujah. So he cried out to the Lord. Said the Lord is enough. And as he laid and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake taken on, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he said, and he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. See, the Lord will take care of you, will take care of us. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on, who is coming against us, all we have to do is repent and stand flat-footed. And he arose and eat and drank and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. How far are we going on this? 18. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah began to tell the Lord what the Lord already knows. The Lord knows all things, sees all, knows all, and can do all. The only thing God cannot do is fail. God asked him what he's doing there. Did God know that Elijah should be standing up strong because he's anointed him, he's appointed him, and he has called him and approved him for his missions? God even sent an angel to feed him so that he would have the strength that he needs to do what he needs to do. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord and before the Lord's. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent or tore the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went down and stood in the interim in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return, and go thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy place. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees shall have not bowed, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So he departed thence, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12 and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left his oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew him and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In other words, he was with Elijah, and he was taking care of Elijah because God has sent Elijah to anoint him, and Elijah followed him after he have taken care of his family. We're talking about, they saw his glory, Jesus. They saw his glory. And coming out of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 13. Now here we go back to Matthew chapter 17. The Bible says that in verse 5, the bright cloud, reminiscent of Yahweh's presence, appearing in a cloud in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 12, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 10, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 9, Numbers chapter 12, in verse 5, a voice from the cloud said, a voice at Jesus' baptism speak these same words, which reflect Psalm 2 and 7. After John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, this same voice came and said, this is my beloved son, of whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. This time he's saying, hey, this is my beloved son, of whom I'm well pleased. He said, listen to him. Listen to him.
Amen.
Whatever he speaks, make sure you listen to what he's saying. So Jesus in the Mount, God's mountain, when he took his protege, the one that was close to him, Jesus had 12 disciples, but there were three that was very close to him. You can have 40 people around you, but there are always going to be a couple people, or two or three that's going to be much closer than the rest of people. You may have one particular person that's so close, they're always there, want to help you. They want to be there. They want to talk with you. They want to converse with you. They want to have a dialogue with you. So Jesus took James, Peter, James, and John to the mountain. When he went into the garden to pray before he was going to be crucified, he knew that his hour was getting close. He had Peter, James, and John. The ones that couldn't even stay awake, but they were in the garden with him. He had a disciple was somewhere doing something, reading books or something. But he had the ones that were close to him, the ones who were concerned, but they want to be close. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you become like him. The more you become like him, the more you're going to understand what he's saying. The more you're going, oh, my God. People said they don't understand me speaking. Why? Because you're not spending enough time with me. I got a daughter in Georgia. Well, I got grandsons, I got great-grandsons, I got great-granddaughters in Georgia. And if you hear them speaking, the ones that were born here, you can hear because they pick up the American dialect. But the ones that came from the country, from Barbados, you wouldn't understand them at all. If you can't understand me, you wouldn't understand them at all because they speak extremely fast. Extremely fast. But here in this text, the Bible says, when they were on the mountain, in verse 6. And when the disciples heard this, they fell down on their faces and were extremely frightened. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Get up! Do not be afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except him, Jesus alone. Elijah and Moses had gone. The Father had brought them there to converse with the Son on the Mount so that the apostle could see the authority, the heavenly glory resting upon Jesus. See, when Moses went up into Mount Sinai to meet God, and the Bible said that, in case you read that early in chapter 34 of Exodus, the Bible said that when Moses spent so much time that the glory came down in the cloud, and Moses was in the cloud with God. But when he came out the cloud, his face was changed. His countenance was changed, but his clothes was the same. The thing different to Moses, Jesus and Moses, that when Jesus was transfigured on the mount, on God's mountain, his clothes, his face, everything changed. But when Moses was transfigured, only his face, only his countenance changed. He had to put a veil over his head to hide, because the people were scared of Moses. It was frightened. He was shining so bright. But Jesus was glowing everywhere. His clothes, his feet, every way down from his head to his toes was glowing. And Moses and Elijah was there. But then when the cloud, the glory cloud came down and covered them on the mount, and the voice from God the Father was speaking, it says, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That's in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 17. After that, the cloud took away Moses and Elijah. And when the apostles, the disciples looked up, they only saw Jesus alone standing. They were frightened. But Jesus encouraged them. See, because they had to see the manifestation of the heavenly glory resting upon the Son of God. See, once you get close to him, you begin to experience his glory. And your life is never the same. But we have to spend time with him in order to experience that glory. Nobody bothers me. Nobody bothers me. You know, there was one man said on a TV show, he said, "Nobody bothers me. Nobody bothers me." I hear people worried about the police there and this and police. I go everywhere. And when I drive on the highway, I drive high speed on the highway. Nobody bothers me. And a lot of times if I'm going too fast, it always be that the police go in the opposite direction. Even if they turn around, they can't catch me. God always said it that way. You know, he protects me on the highway. But the police even had to pull me over. I got stopped one a couple of years ago. I didn't have a ticket in 20-some years. 20-some years, I ain't had a speeding ticket or a parking ticket. And the police stopped me going to church one Sunday morning here in Massachusetts. And I was going about 10 miles above speed limit. I think I was going 45 miles in a 35-mile zone. And they put me over. It was a sheriff, too. And he tapped the car. They always leave the fingerprints on the back of the car so that you can't see that wouldn't them. You touch it and put the fingerprints on the car. And he come and he said, "My license." I was very cool. And he said, "Sir, you know you were speeding." I said, "Well, I didn't think I was speeding going that fast." I said, "But I'm just trying to get to church, that's all." And the police then tells me, he said, he talked to me. He said, "Well, I ain't had a ticket in 18 years. He said, "Well, I'm going to check your record. And if you don't have a ticket," he said, "I'm not going to change it." In other words, he told me he wasn't going to give me a ticket. He wasn't going to change my record. So he went and checked my thing. He come back and he gave me back my license. And he said, "Mr. Callan, just drive on to your church." He said, take your foot off the accelerator. Just slow down. He didn't give me a ticket. God will always protect you. See, once you don't have to be, you could be black, yellow, or pink. But if you can police pull you over, don't you give the police a whole lot of money. I don't like police. I tell the truth. I don't like them. I just don't like them, you know. I love them because they're children of God, but I don't like police, you know. I love them, you know. I respect them, you know. If police put me over, I'm not going to give the police a whole bunch of mouth. No, you're looking for trouble, man. Just say you answer the police respectfully. He represents the law. But soon the police pull over some of these people. Yeah, why you put me over? Why you doing this? They know they were doing something wrong. They know they were doing something wrong. The police ain't going to put you over because you're black. He put you over because you're doing something wrong. You're sitting over there smoking reefer, acting a fool, and the car full of smoke. And the police come in, he can smell the smoke all over the car. Cause you got to go in the park and smoke with you. You can't smoke at home in your backyard. You can't smoke it in your bedroom. You got to go in the park, in the government park, and smoke with you. Now you're all messed up. You can't even see how to drive. Now you want to get in the car and drive on the road, taking a chance killing somebody or even killing yourself. So the police pull you over. And then you want to get the police, hey, you know, you're putting me over because I'm black. All this foolishness. Then you want to get the police the whole time, then you end up getting shot. Foolishness. Here in this text here, the Bible says, he raised them up. Jesus says, verse 9, he said, as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell no man the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Jesus said, look, don't tell nobody anything. There's a lot of time you can't tell, especially a black man, you can't tell them, don't tell. You tell them something, you say, well, I'm going to tell you this in confidence. That's the worst thing to do. The best thing to do is just tell them and hope that they don't tell nobody if you got to get it off your chest. But the moment you tell a black man, a black woman, something but one, don't tell nobody, well, you might as well tell them. Go and tell the whole world here. Go down to the newspaper place and tell them so they can print it, because it's going to tell them. Most of the time you tell a person, don't tell nobody what you say, they're going to tell somebody. You know? They're going to tell somebody. They can't hold it. I don't know what it is. It must be the spurt I get in them and say, you got to tell somebody. When the person told you something in confidence, and then you got to tell somebody. Jesus told them, don't tell no one. Not till he be raised from the dead. He said, let me just complete the work of the Father that I came here to do. See, Jesus got a work to do. We got a work to do. And if we don't do it together, guess what happens? Jesus will get somebody to do it. A lot of times the enemy will bring all type of frustration, all type of confusion, so as to stop you from doing what God called you to do. If we are working together, working together means working together. That's what it means. If no one person has the authority, that's why I always say this ministry is God's ministry. I'm going to do it if I got to do it by myself, because God told me to turn on the light. It's not my ministry. It's God's ministry. And I always said, even last night I was talking to the Lord, this is everyone that come and share on this line, it makes you a watchman. If you're ministering on Blog Talk Radio, you're a watchman for God, not for David Callender, not for Nancy Callender. You are a watchman for God. And every one of us on this line, I'm saying this now because I'm recording this here for the world, I'm recording this for Africa and India and China. Everyone that come on, if you're coming in out of Africa, India, China, I got some pastor told me, see, you want to come and minister for us out of India. He wants to come on and minister sometime. Send me a text the other day. He's got the number. He come on. If you come on and you preach on here, you are a watchman. If you know in your heart there's something that I should do, you say, Apostle, we didn't do this or we didn't do that. Don't wait till you get off the line to murmur about me, because God pricks my spirit. God pricks my spirit when people murmur about my name. It burns my ears, burn my nose, burn me, everything. Best thing to do, know you're a watchman, not David Callender, not Nancy Callender. This is not my line. This is God's ministry, and all of us are ministers for God. Just say, well, David, or Apostle, oh, we didn't do this. We didn't say the Lord's Prayer. We didn't say a prayer of salvation. Because sometimes my mind is moving so fast, I'm doing a lot of things at the same time. I'm teaching here right now. My mind is in Africa. My mind is in India. My mind is in Caribbean because there's people I got to call and I got to talk to. So sometimes I might miss something. I had to come on this morning. Yesterday, I forgot all. I was so caught up with having to pray for pray for Minister Batmos for calling the virus, you know, for her to become over that virus quick. I forgot to do do the commune. But nobody can tell me that. Well, Paul said you forgot to do the prayer of salvation, but I'll have to get off the phone and talk about it. Simple, man. Just tell me that. Paul said, we didn't do the prayer of salvation, the prayer of commune yet. We didn't do commune service yet. Well, I said, oh, my God, I got my wine here. I got my crack, my waitress here. We go on and do it. Don't wait till something happens to talk about it. If that don't, that's just give the devil a foothold. We got to work together. We got to work together. God. You know, if we don't do that, we just having to put giving the devil a foothold because we want to get and talk with brother this body and uncle this body and anybody about what didn't happen. No, this is all impossible because we all are watchmen. I'm on the wall, you're on the wall. The next person's on the wall. We all on the wall for Christ Jesus. Not for David Candler, not for Nancy Candler. For Jesus Christ, we are all on the wall for him. I had some people come on here with me years ago, and we were doing good. We still talk because I can't develop no hatred for them. And all of a sudden, we ordained them, sent them a license. We went over to minister with them in Mississippi, and we had a good time. God just come down, the Holy Ghost come down and slay the pastor and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, once they get a license, now the pastor recognized that they got the gift to preach now. Because we give them the chance to harness their skills. That's what we do here in Blog Talk Radio. We don't tie down nobody. If somebody want to go. Leave. We want you to leave and preach the gospel. That's what we do. We give people a chance. Because the people with the big church, they look at you and say, well, I'm not going to give Deacon Fred a chance to preach in the church. I'm going to give him no chance, but God wanted him to teach. God wanted him to learn. God said, go over there to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to give you a chance every other Sunday or so to preach, to learn how to preach, to harness his skills, and the Holy Spirit going to teach you. And then when you get there, if you want to go now and go and join another facility and say, well, I'm going to preach for this church. I'm going to be on this as pastor because now I'm ready. Then go ahead. We're not mad because that's what we're called to do. We have many preachers and pastors that we sent out from here, from Blog Talk Radio. We got Pastor Larry over in Houston, Texas, got a church now. We got Pastor, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. Seen his picture too. It's that guy. But he over in Mississippi. And he got a church over there. Derek, I think it is. And he got a church over there. He said, I want you to be the overseer of the church. I ain't got time for the overseer. Just get overseer over there. Remember, you got a license now. Go ahead, get overseer over there, because I got things I'm doing, you know. And he said, well, I got some. That's fine. Go ahead. Did we train you? You get your gifts. You get over here. You get sharp. You sharpen up. God use you here. Go ahead and tap your church. Go ahead. That's fine. We don't care. We're going to still keep doing with them. But here in this text, he says he begins to speak, and Jesus is speaking, because Jesus got these three disciples with him that is so close to him that every time he breathes on them. Hallelujah. Even when he find them sleeping here in the Garden of Gethsemane, he come back. Can you just watch me for 1 hour while I go and pray? He go back to prayer. Come back, find them sleeping the second time. Ask them the same thing. Third time he says, sleep on. Sleep on. Hallelujah, because they weren't able to, they didn't have the endurance to stay awake, but they were there. They were in the garden with him. They didn't desert him. They were in the garden with him. This is what people miss. They didn't stay awake, but they didn't desert him. They were in the garden with him while he was praying. And here he got these same three disciples on the mountain. Well, he go up there. He go up there to pray too. He pray in the mountain. He pray in the garden. And Elijah, Moses and Elijah show up. Verse 10 said the disciples asked him, saying, then why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Now they want to know what. He said, Jesus tell them don't see anything with the vision that they saw on the mountaintop until he be raised from the dead. And the disciples said, but why then the scribes are saying that Elijah must come first? They don't understand that Elijah already came. Not Elijah physically in the physical body, but Elijah came in the spirit, because John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. Understand? He had the spirit of Elijah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because he's speaking metaphorically, and they're thinking and looking for Elijah to come down with his mantle and do all his work. No, the same spirit that Elijah had, John the Baptist had. Hallelujah. So he says, he answered and said, Elijah indeed is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come. This is talking with John, see? Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize, but did with him whatever they wanted to. In the same way, also the Son of Man, talking about himself now, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. They're going to do what they like with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because they can, but because he allowed them. I want you to know this. They didn't crucify him because they could. They crucified him because he allowed them. And the Father allowed it to happen. Because he had to die so that we could live. Hallelujah. We would have access to the tree of life. If he didn't die on the cross at Calvary, we would not have access to the tree of life. Hallelujah. But he says to them, he says, then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. After he kind of break down some stuff for him. Elijah must come first. In Malachi chapter 4 and 5, Malachi had prophesied that Elijah would come before the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 14. Elijah indeed is coming, Jesus said. Jesus could be referring to two Elijah's figures, one in the figure and one in the past, one in the future and one in the past. Or he might be restating the prophecy of Malachi 4 and 5, and then speaking about its fulfillment in John the Baptist. They did with him whatever they want to. They even cut off John the Baptist's head. His head was cut off. Remember? His head was cut off. Because John spoke boldly. John spoke boldly. John did not hold his tongue. Jesus clearly calls his mysterious occurrence a vision. It was not reality, but a glimpse of what the future held for Jesus. The word transfigured in verse 2 sounds esoteric, but it is merely the passive form of the Greek metaphorphos, meaning change in form or transform. This same word is used in the well-known Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Go over there and see it. We talked about it all the time. A lot of time we talk about transforming. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we have to be transformed, all of us that call ourselves ministers of the gospel must be transformed. Why do we have to be transformed? Because people must see that we are not the same old people that we were. Hallelujah. How can we testify that we are changed if we still remain the same? If we are still acting the same, we're still getting all bent out of shape at the smallest thing, that means that we're not changing. We're still stuck on stupid. You understand? We're still stuck on stupid. And God wants us to be transformed. How are we going to be transformed? How are we going to be renewed? Paul says, shall we continue in sin? He said, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. No, because we are different. We are changed. We are in his grace now. His grace is in us. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that great is he that's in. He said, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. What them? The wicked spirits, the evil spirits, the satanic deception. We have overcome all of them. For great is he that's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. But if we are distracted and we are being delayed by things that we see and hear, we're not transformed. We need to be transformed. People say some stuff to me sometimes that, oh man, I just want to take them. I said, no, not today, devil. And sure enough, not tomorrow. Being transformed by the renewal of your mind, unlike Matthew and Mark, Luke used the first agento heteron, translated as was altered, and meaning became different. Luke 9:29. Being transformed means that you are changing from one thing to the other. No longer cursing, no longer getting all upset and bent out of shape. My pastor told me, because I used to get bent out. Oh, my God. Oh, I was one. I really needed and still needed some transform. My pastor told me one time, she says, because I had husband and wife was pastors, the pastor wrote, she says, I said, want to fight, man, in church. I said, let's go outside, let's fight, man. You talk to me anywhere, I want to go outside the church. She says, son, I'll tell you one thing. You have to be transformed. And she says, you have to become flexible. She said, if you become flexible, you won't get easily bent out of shape. I couldn't understand it. But she was telling me that I had to not let things get to me. So time to understand that and to activate it in my life. Because as long as you're teaching and preaching the gospel, there's always going to be something. The adversary going to always use something to agitate you. Because you have a way, let me say it this way. All of us have a way that we want things done. All of us, you, me, we, us, we have a way we want to see things done. And if they don't, if they're not done that way, inside of us are disturbed. Inside of us are disturbed. I want to finish this thing here quick. I got lost scripture, but I'm going to finish pretty quick now. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. In the vision, the three disciples saw Jesus change to the form he will have to in God's kingdom, which he alluded to in Matthew 16:28. You can look at that scripture yourself. Why did Moses and Elijah appear with him? This is where the events of Matthew 16 become important. These two servants of God were the most revered among all the Old Testament figures. Moses, the great lawgiver, personified the law. Elijah, the archetypal prophet, the prophet, eventually the vision depicted Moses and Elijah speaking to Jesus in a servant-master relationship. But the disciples failed to see this vital distinction. See, all they want to do is make a temple or tabernacle for the Jesus and Moses and Elijah. They didn't see this metaphor or this picture that Jesus wanted them to see, that he was God and that they were his servants. They didn't see this. And we miss it. We miss it. But God wanted us to see the same thing because we miss the analogy of a servant and Lord. See, Jesus pulled us out from that after a while, because after we walk with him for a while, calling us servants and begin to call us friends. Because now our relationship changes from being the servant and master to friends. Hallelujah, that's what he wants us to. But it comes, that relationship only comes by transformation. That relationship comes when we become transformed in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm, because the flesh is always going to be the same. But the spirit man that we carry must change, must be transformed. That's where, that we're not easily disturbed by what man says or what woman says. He says, now Peter puts it like, let's make three tabernacles for each of you. The other account said he did not really know what he was saying, meaning that he had missed something in his fear, that he spoke without thinking it through. Sometimes we do. Sometimes you and I, us, we do. We speak without thinking. If something don't look the way we want it to look, we run off. I read that scripture earlier in Mark chapter 9 and 6. We start saying stuff, doing stuff, and we get angry. And we just got to blow it out to somebody. And then the other person pick up that same spirit. See, this is why we have to go back in the corner, take a deep breath, and talk to God. And then what it causes division in the church because we're not talking to God. We're not talking to God. We talk to each other first. But whatever's going on before we talk to God. See, if we talk to God, we say, well, God, why we didn't have a Holy Communion on Sabbath? God would say, well, my son was taking care, praying for my daughter, and it slipped his mind. But you can do it. You can start it. And he'll flow. He'll flow with you because he know that you all are on the same wall, the wall of Christ. See, this is how it works. See, when you realize that we all have the same authority, it's not apostle. I thank God that you respect me and I respect you, but it's not apostle. He's not the evangelist. He's not the deacon. It's Christ Jesus. We're working for him. And while you say, well, let's do a prayer of salvation, or it's time to do the Holy Communion. Apostle is so sharp, apostle going to say, okay, has God going to prick my heart at the same time? And it's going to flow smooth. People wouldn't even realize that we was missing the Holy Communion. See, because we've flown in Christ. Ah, that's another story. Here in Mark chapter 9, verse 6, this one says, for he was not what to say. Let's talk about Peter. He didn't know what to say, for they were so afraid. Mark chapter 9, verse 6. So the first thing comes to his mouth, let's make a street tabernacle. Like God needs a tabernacle to dwell in. God wants to be in your heart. He wants to be in my heart. Peter wants to make tabernacles. Luke in 9:33 said this, the same, almost the same thing. 9:33. This is the Luke. He says, and it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what to say. Not knowing what to say. All you need to do is just, if you don't know what to say, ask God. I don't discuss nothing with my wife. She's not God. She don't have the answers that I want. If it's physical, now I go to her. If it's natural, I go to her. But when it's spiritual, if I'm dealing with a deacon, if I'm dealing with evangelist, a prophet, I go to God. So God, how do I deal with this situation? How should I react? And most of the time when I ask him, I tell you no lie, he put me to sleep. This is the honest truth. He puts me to sleep. There's no computer going down. He puts me to sleep. And when he put me to sleep, guess what happened? He gives me the answer. He gives me the answer. Glory to God. You got to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Let me pull this other computer up, because this other one is going down. Let me tell you, thank God. Thank God for having these computers. That one just, you know, they don't know why. Connection, you know, at right. You're not right. Glory to God. It means I got to pull this here back in, so. But, you know, this we got. It takes time. It takes time. It just, if you have to, they have to work together and learn each other. You know, nobody's higher than anybody. There's no pedestals in this ministry. I don't know about other ministries, but there's no pedestals in this ministry. Only one is high in this ministry is God. No pedestals. No pedestals. Here, what happened as a result of his thoughtless comment? Notice that Matthew writes, while he was still speaking, this is a big clue. God immediately, seeing that the disciples did not understand, took steps to make it plain to the, to paraphrase what God said, look, Jesus is my beloved son, and he has my highest approval. Listen to what he says. He is far greater than Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. See, once you go to God and you put it before God, you would hear the voice of God. God will speak to our spirit man. We ought not be fighting against each other. Christian believers, followers of Christ Jesus, ought not be fighting. Ought not be having serious disputes over minor stuff. Hallelujah. We take it to him. He tells us what to do with it. And we work. This is where the transfiguration occurred. God wanted to make it very clear to his disciples that his way of life is based on the life and death and life again of Jesus Christ, not on the Jews' traditional beliefs. He had to stun the disciples so that they would put Jesus and his teaching on a higher level than Judaism, even higher than the teachings of Moses and Elijah. Sometimes we forget we have preachers and we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have pastors, we have teachers. And sometimes they, because they went to school of theology and they have PhD, we have MAs and BAs and all this kind of stuff, and they have a lot of plaques on the wall, that when they're saying all of this elaborate stuff that they're saying, we tend to put Jesus out the back door. And we say, my pastor, my bishop this, my pastor this, my deacon this, my usher this. But we don't say my God this. They say we give God less reverence and give the pastor, the bishop, and all these other folk, we give them all the reverence. The reverence belongs to God, not to the apostle, not to the prophet, not to the evangelist, not to the pastor or the teacher. That's why God had to shock Peter, James, and John on the mountain. Why? Because he wanted them to know that Jesus has all authority. He is God. He has all authority. He has all power. Muhammad died. He's still in the grave. Buddha died. He's still in the grave. Confucius died. Still in the grave. David died. Still in the grave. Moses died. Still in the grave. Elijah died. Well, Elijah's in heaven. Elisha is in the grave. But Elijah is in heaven because he was transported to heaven. God took him straight up there. He didn't see that. He went straight to heaven. Enoch didn't see that. He went straight to heaven. But God first, you put him on the mantle that is made for him, with the mantle of your heart. Whatever Jesus says is far more important to our salvation than the minutiae of Moses law are the vagaries of prophecy. And in many instances, Jesus makes upgrades to Old Testament law, giving a higher spiritual meaning. For instance, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 and 22. And we were reading that today, and just blessed me as I was looking at it. In Matthew chapter 5 and 21, 22. We are finished here. We got more scriptures, but we're going to stop right there. Today is Sunday. I want to have some Jamaican food today. 20 and 21. Listen to Jesus speak. This is all in red. So that means Jesus is speaking all through this book. But you can start this here. You can start this here from verse 16, but let's go to verse 21. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old, talking about the prophets, by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Or, you know, the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry, listen to what Jesus is saying, with his brother, without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. That's the heavenly government. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Jesus put this thing up there so powerful because we're thinking about murder as a very heinous sin. And Jesus says, to call your brother a fool, hallelujah, could put you in danger of hellfire. We don't think about that. Because we don't look at these scriptures. I want to go to Exodus chapter 16, but we're not going to go there today. Next day I come back. All right, when I do come back, the Lord say, I'm going to preach a lot next week. We're going to hit some of these scriptures. I've got some other stuff I want to go to. But Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us today, Lord, to bless us, Lord. Letting us know that you are the one that we must listen to. Yes, Lord, we hear each other as we speak your word. But we must let our spirit, O God, yield to you and hear from you, even as the preacher is preaching. We're not listening to the preacher. We're listening to the spirit that's in the preacher. We ask you, Father God, to forgive us of any thought, any word, any deed, any action that we may have committed, O God, known or not known. Now, Lord, if we have said something to hurt someone, we always ask that, God, you forgive us, for it's not our intention to hurt anyone. Lord, there's many people out there that are suffering today. We ask today, Lord, that you send a couple more jobs. We need a couple more jobs, Lord, to take care of the orphans, to take care of the widows, the homeless. Even right here in America, Lord, people are suffering, Lord. People can't get what they need. They can't get no food. They can't get shelter. They're living in cardboard boxes, living in abandoned cars and abandoned homes, houses. Lord, we ask you to help us, to help those that you put in our path, Lord. And as you do this, Lord, we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor in Jesus' name. The Bible says, "In your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There's only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God. But God states in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. It certainly you would prefer to go to heaven. And to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say that he was one of the ways, like some people are saying. Many preachers are saying now, they changed up and saying there are many ways to the Father. But Jesus said that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. Number four, you must accept that Jesus Christ, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity. And two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm coming quickly. He didn't say that was coming quick. He says, I'm coming quickly. Mean I'm coming quicker than quick. That's quickly. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you're walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The Bible also said in John 3:17 that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And John 3:19, part B, said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Bible also said in Romans 10:9-11, that if you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth it unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. This is what the Bible says. I'm quoting this out of my spirit, so let's look at it in the Bible. He said that if you confess, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever, that means anybody. You can go down the scripture all the way down to verses 16, and you will see, we usually read all that. In the book of Acts 2:38, Peter speaks to the people. Peter and John had just come out of the temple, and the people begin to look at Peter, and they were praising Peter and John, but Peter let them point this thing back to Jesus. You see, everything has to go back to Jesus. Doesn't matter how well we teach or how well we prophesy, we have to turn it back to Jesus. And people trying to have people come and give you a little gossip, praise the Lord, thank the Lord Jesus. But don't take it like it's you, like it's us. It's him using us. So point it back to him. And they were coming on Peter because this crippled man had walked and so on. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that, how powerful that message must have been? The people heard, and 3,000 people gave their life and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they that believed were together and had all things common. See, they had everything. Everything they had the same. Nobody was putting themselves above each other. The Bible says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. And they continuing daily with the one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Hear that? Singleness, everybody feeling the same way. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God will bring people that want to be saved. This is where the people will see the pitch. And the Jews read from the left, from the right to the left. We read from the left to the right. But if they were reading, they would have read this scripture first and then go to the one that we just read in Acts 2:38. So they come to Peter. Peter said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, see, he put it back in their face, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole, the man that was at the gate called Beautiful begging alms. Remember Peter said, look upon us, he and John, that were going into the, at the hour of prayer, that were going into the temple. And this man was, who was carried to the gate by his family members or friends to beg alms. I believe he was the breadwinner for his family by begging alms. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it to thee. Arise and walk. And Peter, the Bible said, Peter reached out and took him by his hand. And he got up and started walking and leaping and praising God and following him into the temple. He says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner, talking about Jesus. In Matthew 20. In Isaiah 28 and 16, Matthew 21 and 42, this would he's talking about Jesus. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let them know only Jesus. Jesus is the only one, not the bishop, not the apostle, not the evangelist, not the prophet, not the apostle. No, only Jesus. We preach the word. We teach the word. But Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, comes in and convict the hearer. That's why we got to preach the word, the word, the word, the word. Got to be the word. You can add, you put your 2 cents like I do. Put your 2 cents to it. A little sugar on it. But it's the word that does the work. It does the work. It's the word that convicts the people's heart that they want to live better. Those that reject the word would have to pay. But we have to preach the word of God as it is. Not adding or taking from it. Hallelujah. When you elaborate, it's what God let you elaborate, because somebody needs to know that you've been delivered by the teaching and preaching of the word. He said that, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, you don't have to have a PhD to preach the gospel. This is what you do. You have to be with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, if you had an encounter with Jesus, that's all you need. If he showed up in your dream, if he showed up in your sleep, that's all you need. He'll give you all you need to preach the gospel that in a way that it makes sense that somebody wants to get saved. Not that you push your chest up and think that you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. That's not the gospel. The gospel is humility, humbling yourself, loving your brother and your sister as you love yourself, treating them the way that you would want to be treated. Don't look for every little small thing to complain about, to bitch about. Don't look for it. everything you want to talk about. Just be ready to preach the gospel. We want to beef about every little small thing. Every little small thing we want to beef about. No, if I can't fix it, you fix it. Let us fix it. Let's do it together. This is why we call it a Resurrection Power Church of Christ ministry, not David Counter Church of Christ ministry. I'm not Christ. I'm just a servant. I'm just a friend of God. We are just friends of God. God chose us to put us in this position. Hallelujah, I was in the crack house when he called me, smoking crack cocaine. I'm in the whole house with whores, men doing all type of stuff, orgies and all kind of stuff I was involved in. You hear what I'm telling you? And God called me out. And when I told him I wasn't going to get high anymore, I wasn't going to be in orgies or smoking coke or anything else anymore, they couldn't believe it because I love doing that stuff. But when God called me and showed me how he died for me, my life changed. I couldn't understand. I started weeping. Even now, time I had a post on Facebook the other day before yesterday. Even sometime, I find myself weeping when I think about he loved me so much. I'd be just crying. I said, why would he love me so much that he would even die for me? He couldn't choose anybody else. And I would just weep. Because he could have left me in the crack house and let me die like the rest of my friends died. But no, he came in there and took me out the crack house. So I'm going to give you a new life. Life like nobody else can give to you. And that's what God did for me. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good opportunity. I didn't know even though I was going to go this long, but this is a good opportunity for you to receive Jesus. You may be in Africa, you may be in India, you may be in Japan, Iraq and Iran, you may be in China. You may be in the Philippine Islands. You may be in the Fuji Islands. You may be in Brazil, Denmark, Amsterdam, Holland. You may be in Canada. You may be in Israel, Jerusalem, Syria, Egypt, France, Germany, wherever, Caribbean. And you're hearing this by way of satellite, computer, cell phone system. And you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You recognize that you've been living your life in sin. And you know that if you die right now, that you will go directly to hell. You know your soul will be at hell's gate. And nobody can pull it back. Once you get there, not even God himself, he don't have authority to take it back. Because it's a sinful soul. He can't touch it. If you know this is you and you want to be saved, Jesus is the one you need to call on. Call into the scriptures. If you believe that he died on a hill called Golgotha, the skull, Calvary, and you believe that you know in your heart that you need him to come into your heart and set you free, call up to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin, and they have always before me, against you and you only. Have I sinned? And you have the right to judge me however you choose to this day. But today, Lord Jesus, on the 19th day of February, I've heard the word. I'm hearing the word. And I believe what the word says. I'm confessing with my mouth that you were crucified on a hill called Calvary for my sins. Not for your sins, because you were the Lamb without sin, without spots. But you were crucified for the sin that I committed. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, Jesus, that you died on the cross, and yet you were buried, and that God the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe this. I confess it now. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents on this day, the 19th day of February. And today, I'm opening the door to my heart, and I'm asking you to enter. I invite you to come in and sit on the throne of my heart today, Jesus. Be the king of my life, the Lord of my life, the Savior of my soul. I no longer want to be the king. I can't save my soul, but I know you can. I know if you save me, I'll be saved. If you heal me, I'll be healed, according to Jeremiah. 1 John says, if I confess that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, I lay all my sins, Lord, you know them big and small, large and wide. I lay them at the foot of the altar right now, the foot of the cross. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Wash me in your blood, the blood that never lost its first estate. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, help me to walk the life that gives honor to you, that exalts your name. Allow me to be part of the body of Christ, the church that you are coming to receive. I thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and setting me free from the pit of hell. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer and you believe, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, we recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. That is what he told me back in 2010, to tell the people to start with these books. Or you can start from Genesis if you choose to, but he said to tell you to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. So you get a gospel understanding of this apostles, the Lord, the Savior, and get an understanding of the word for yourself. Invite the Holy Spirit. As he always says, when you go and open the book, invite the Holy Spirit. You'll be amazed how the word seems to be coming off the pages into your spirit when you invite the Holy Spirit. And then after you get to studying the word, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, or go check out some church and see which pastor you would like to ask to baptize you. And they may be baptizing you according to Matthew chapter 28 and 19, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because they have not had the awakening or the enlightening of what Jesus was saying here in Matthew chapter 28 and 19 that come to light in Acts 2 and 38. And if they don't baptize that way, don't get mad with the pastor and say, well, my pastor told me, salvation told me I should be baptized in Jesus' name according to Acts 2 and 38. Don't do that, because God may, after you get baptized, you've been in the ministry for a while, God may even bring you back to that very church that you got mad at the pastor like a fool to be the pastor of that church after the pastor retired or decide he going to leave. Or they fire the pastor, because some of the pastors get fired too. The government, the church government fire the pastor. The deacons and the elders fire the pastor sometimes. You know, they vote the pastor out of the pastor not acting right. And once you get baptized, find out that you're going to get baptized, invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want them to see that your life is changing. You're not completely changed yet, Cody. It changes every day. I'm still changing. You hear me tell you all the time. And then get yourself connected to a church after you get baptized. Seek out a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. If you can't find somebody, come back here to Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you in till you find a good church that will teach you the truth, the infallible truth of God's word, and you're welcome. God bless you all. I thank you for listening to me, the bread this morning. Over to God. Now, I don't know if anybody on the line wants to say something. If you want, you can. If not, we're going to close out. We thank God for you all, and thank you for coming on. Thank you, Evangelist Lula. We thank God for you for coming on with us this morning. You know, we always welcome the people in the
for being so faithful to have this line. I thank you. This is a blessing, and I thank God for allowing me to be on to hear the word. I love being among the righteous and to be where I can hear and get a better understanding of the word. That's a blessing. And I appreciate you so much and all you do for others who are less fortunate. That's a blessing that God put that on your mind to do. I just felt the need to tell you that today. And thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of it. Thank you again. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Evangelist. And let me know what day next week that you're available. You can always text me and let me know what day you're available. And now let me know what day you're available, because we want you to come in as often as you can and sharpen your tools. Because the more you preach, the stronger you're going to become, and the sharper you're going to be.
Right. I appreciate you for encouraging me and helping me. And I'm one that want to learn. I want to do better and better. I strive. I got my motto this year, the best of me in 2023. I want to do better. Thanks so much.
You're gonna do better. You're gonna do better. All you gotta do is just get your scriptures together, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and do it as He said to you. Don't do it to please nobody. Do it to please Him.
Amen.
And do it to please Him. If you do it to please Him, you're gonna do it right all the time. Just do it to please Him.
Amen.
And listen
to Him.
Okay. So when you get when you're ready, just let me know what day you can come. Okay.
Okay, I will. Thanks
God
again.
God bless you. You're welcome. We're going to pray and close out, because nobody's going to respond, so we're going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. And we thank you for those that came on today to hear the word. We ask you to bless them, bless everything that they do. Lord, we ask you to order their steps in your word. Let your word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, O God. We ask you, O God, to send angels to encamp around their dwelling place while they're out there walking, driving, riding. O God, whatever they're doing, Lord, we ask you to let the angels stand up, O God, to protect them, that no hurt, harm, or danger befall them. They are your servants. They are your children, O God. And they have your DNA, oh God. So we ask you, God, to watch over them, each and every one, even the ones that didn't come on the line today. We ask you to keep them safe, Lord, and protect them, because we know the adversary, he is busy, but he cannot defeat that which you have already set free. Father,
Amen.
We thank you right now. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you, God. We thank you, for you are God and God alone, God. God, you are the source of our strength, Lord God. God, we can do nothing without you, Lord. You are our power. Lord, you are, oh God, everything that we need. God, you stand on guard for us, oh God. You do not allow the enemy to touch us, oh God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, your spirit lifts up a standard for us, oh God.
Father,
we are thanking you. We praise you, oh God. Mighty God, you supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. God, when we are sick, you heal us. You are a healer. When we are weak, you give us strength, Lord. God, when we are broke, you supply our needs. Father, we thank you right now. And Father, we thank you even for the jobs that will come in, oh God, so we can go and make some money, oh God, to help these poor people, help the widows, help the fatherless, the motherless, Lord God.
Yes,
God, we are thanking you, God, because you are the righteous God. You are the one that we serve.
Yes,
you are the one that we adore. You are the one that we honor. Father, we thank you now for Apostle Washington. We thank you for Bishop Washington. We thank you for Apostle Millie Jefferson. Thank you for her sister.
Yes,
thank you,
Lord,
for her brother, for her daughter, for her son-in-law, for her grandson. Oh, Father, we thank you, God, oh God, for watching over them, Lord. We thank you for empowering them, oh God, with strength from on high. What the enemy said no, you said yes, Lord. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, how you strengthen Bishop, Lord. Lord, the enemy wants to take his life, but God, you said not yet. Oh, Father, we thank you for Deacon Fraser's father. We thank you for healing him from cancer. We thank you, oh God, for how you allow him to come through the virus and all the stuff that tried to take this man out. God, you said not yet. Father, we thank you for his mother. Lord God, we thank you, oh God. We thank you for his tenacity. We thank you for his faithfulness to the land. God, to your people, Deacon is always ready for prayer. He is always ready, oh God, to open the line to pray for people. Even when the people that dislike him and don't care for him, he still pray for them. He still call up their name before the throne of glory. And Father, we honor you right now. We pray for this evangelist Lula. We pray for her daughters. We pray for her grandchildren, Lord. We pray for everything that concerns her. You said you would perfect that which concerns her. You said you would keep her in perfect peace as her mind is stayed on you. And Lord God, we just ask you today, God, to rain down righteousness upon her as she seeks you, Lord, as she wait upon you, Lord. Rain that righteousness that only comes from heaven, oh God. Rain it down on her, Lord. Let her experience your glory. Let her experience your glory. Open her intellect, God. She's a very smart, intelligent woman, Lord. But open her intellect, oh God, that she would see your word even clearer, that she begin to teach and study your word, God. Lord God, that the word would come to her like a lamp, oh God, like a light to her, light a lamp to her feet and a light to her path, Lord God, that the word would light up her spirit man, oh God, that when she see it, God, she would know. She said, thank you, God, for giving this to me. Lord, you give her the word. Put it in her belly, Lord. Cause her belly to overflow with righteousness. Cause her belly to overflow with holiness. Oh, mighty God, let her not lack anything, Lord God. And Lord, while she's out there driving her new car, Lord, I ask you to send the angel before her, like you send the angel before Daniel. Send the angel before her that oh God, that no one would hit her. She would not get in an accident to hurt herself or hurt anyone. Oh God, I ask for your protection over her life now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, protect that which concerns her. And Father, we bless your name. We praise your name right now. And Father, even as we leave this line, but never your presence, Lord God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much for coming on today. Brother Deacon, Brother Deacon Fraser, I'm giving you next Sunday. Brother Fraser, next Sunday you will preach next Sunday. Okay, Brother Fraser? He's on there. He hear me. Well, Evangelist Lula, we'll talk to you this week then, okay? God bless you.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right.
Bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.